All right, welcome back, everybody, to Menace Podman. This is a special bonus edition of Menace Podman, your NBA and fantasy basketball podcast. I'm Scott Keller, along with Steve St. Pierre. We also have another guest on here we'll introduce here in just a second. You've already heard from him already on a past podcast. But yeah, we're doing things a little differently with March Madness and the selection show on St. Patrick's Day last Sunday. We got the NCAA tournament starting off here. We got the first four here on Tuesdays and Wednesday before we get into the official field of 64 on Thursday. But yeah, I guess without further ado, we also have joining us our guest. You've heard him on season 2, episode 32, All Bark, All Bite. Mike Bark is with us again for another podcast. Thanks for joining us again.
OG.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed the last time. I look forward to the conversation today.
Sounds good. Yeah, I think we're going to waste no time hopping in here. I guess just some little stuff. I mean, obviously, everybody fills out their brackets. It's awesome. It's one of those things that, like, your kids, your grandmother, your wife, and everybody likes to fill out brackets, it seems. So it's so inclusive. It's one of the best things, I think, in sports. Probably
best fucking time of the year.
Yeah, best time of the year. It's one of the best things, I think, sports-related that anybody can do since football squares for, like, the Super Bowl. I think that's the closest thing I can compare it to. But, yeah, you got to have some knowledge, got to have some luck, and just have fun with it, basically. But everybody's exactly. Trying to get that perfect bracket. They always got those competitions. You know, I think we were just at Twin Peaks the other day for Ian's birthday.
That's the one!
And they have a $2 million perfect bracket challenge. I think that's the most I've seen, actually, right now. And I know they got the millions, and Yahoo and ESPN has, you know, 25,000 or something like that for not perfect brackets, but just having the best bracket. But yeah, it's tough. 1 in 9.2 quintillion chance of having a perfect bracket for the NCAA tournament, which
almost there.
Yeah, it's basically it's 1 billion millions. That's a big ass number. So just to put it out there, but I did see in 2019 there was a guy from Ohio had the longest perfect streak on his bracket known to man so far, and it was 49 consecutive games he was perfect going into the Sweet 16. So I think that's the best on record so far. So
Ohio, huh?
Yeah, I know. But yeah. We'll strive for that. Anyways, to get into it, I figured we'd start off, obviously, we're here in Detroit, Michigan area, and we got two local teams in the tournament. So I thought we'd talk about the two local teams that are in the tournament and also one of the local teams that's not in the big tournament. So we'll just start off at that, and then after that, we'll get into all the kind of our breakdown of the region's teams and just kind of how our brackets are filling out and what we're feeling right now. But so yeah, I think let's start. Where do we want to start with? We want to start with the not in the tournament team and get that out of the way, and then focus on the two in.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So that I'm going to throw over to Mike here to start this off. Obviously, he's the biggest Michigan fan, definitely out of the three of us.
All right. Thanks for passing it over, Scott. So the last time I was on, I think it was early January, and the season wasn't going so great, and I think we knew it was going to be a bomb, but it hadn't officially exploded yet. in my mind, it exploded in the summer, and then I got sucked into a few weeks of hope. But to make it short, you know, I don't want to talk about what was, other than the fact with Juwan Howard being a program legend. I think it's sad that you can't even make a case for him to come back. Like, they just had to leave from him. I mean, 8-24, worst season in school history, no recruiting anymore, embarrassing conduct at times for certain. So, you know, we're not going to beat a dead horse there, but, you know, it's sad that you can't, you know, make that, you know, justification that he deserves another year. But the last time I was on as well, you know, Steve asked me, who do I think? And I threw the name out there, Dane Fife, you know, background. From Clarkson, Michigan, was Mr. Basketball, played 4 years at Indiana under Bob Knight. He headed his own program, a small school, and actually I think he had a winning record when he was only 25, and then went and served 10 years as Tom's trusted assistant. And a lot of people, including an expert of that Steve is a mutual friend of ours, you know, felt
Big Daddy
in waiting. Yep. And, You know, then he went over to Indiana. Things didn't work out so well, and nobody knows exactly why things didn't work out well there. And now he's unemployed. So I thought that would be a great, you know, interview to have. But for whatever reason, his name is not showing up on any of these searches. So I'm not going to, you know, beat that horse because it doesn't look like it's happening. But, you know, I was
it's a good idea, though.
Yeah. I mean, if I was on the search committee, what can hurt to talk to him? You know, his dad was captain of the team in the 70s, I believe. But I just doing some research, and there's a lot of names that come up as clickbait, and a lot of them are just not going to happen. Creighton's Greg McDermott is a popular name. He just signed a contract extension a week ago, and he wants to retire at Creighton. So I don't think that's going to be happening. And then Nate Oates was the other one I threw out there on the podcast. Yeah. They just signed him to a top five in the country contract over in Alabama. And believe it or not, the rumor is John U. Bacon, he is the top Michigan insider I know. I mean, he was right about Harbaugh and almost everything. He said that John Beilein might have some interest, but he's not sure if Michigan has interest in them. I'm not sure I believe that, though, because I can't picture that guy wanting to deal with NIL portal. I think that Jordan Poole and that group drove him out of coaching when they all left.
But, that's a good call.
I just don't see it happening. But, you know, there's some other coaches that are coming up. Lamont Harris for South Carolina. You know, he was an Ohio guy and spent time in Wisconsin 8 years as an assistant. But he just signed a six-year extension. $12.5 million buyout. So I don't think they're going to be paying for that. And then another big one that comes up, TJ Olsberger, who is the coach for Iowa State, who's the number two seed, also has a hefty buyout. I don't have the number, but I understand it's quite hefty. Shaka Smart's name comes up, but I don't think that's going to happen because he's flunked out at a football school already at Texas. So why leave Marquette, which is a basketball first school, to come play second fiddle to the football program, even though he could potentially be a good hit, but I don't think that's going to happen. And Brian Dutcher's the other one I just want to say thumbs down to. If you don't know who Brian Dutcher is, anybody listening, he recruited Juwan Howard. He was part of the Steve Fisher staff, and he may be a good option, but I can't imagine they're bringing anybody in from that era. And also, given his relationship with Juwan Howard, he may not want to cross him like that.
Yeah.
So, names that are realistic candidates. Now, this is where it got interesting for me, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this because there's really only two I'm going to touch on here, maybe three. But the one I like the most is Nico Medved from Colorado State. He runs a very college-like offense. For Colorado State, he's had them successful. Michigan actually played them in a tournament a couple years ago. They're very efficient with the ball. There's a lot of Beilein comparisons here. They run a motion offense that observers have started to say have become a must watch. And I'd like to check them out. I should know, but I don't believe they're in the tournament. If not, I'd like to check them out in the NIT.
I think Colorado State is in the first four, aren't they?
Are they?
Okay. If I recall correctly.
So I'll definitely be checking that one out. And it's my understanding, too, he's got a culture program where one of the top players didn't want to, you know, leave for more money because of the culture and the fact that they care about him. So right now, that's my favorite. And then the other interesting name, Darian DeVries from Drake. Drake's in the tournament, and he's had them successful for, you know, quite a few years now. They're 28-6 here. His strengths are turnover avoidance, just like Beilein, while being strong on the boards. And, you know, they're awful on the offensive rebounds, at least maybe that's a talent deficiency. But the fact that he's got them strong on the boards, you know, you would think he'd be able to coach more, I should say, obtain more talent at Michigan. But really, those are the top two. And then there's a mention here.
Just to not to cut you off, but back on DeVries and Drake, weirdly enough, I actually have Drake winning the first round game. But he also coaches his son there. I don't know if there's any connection to get him away. Tucker DeVries, can you take him with you to Michigan? Cool. We'll take it.
package deal,
right?
Yep. So that's on the table, according to the source I have here. And
really?
Really, those are it. I mean, there's a mention here as Indiana State's coach being a a possibility. And then Dusty May, who's Florida Atlantic's coach, which sounds appealing because they made the Final Four last year, but he's been pretty mediocre except for last year. I know they made it again this year. I was going to say
that's similar to the San Diego State type stuff with what's his face? Because they were in the national championship game last year, or the Final Four. I'm sorry, I can't remember. No, the championship. They lost to UConn last year, but I feel like San Diego State doesn't have that much success usually going that far in the tournament. So another one of those kind of just recency type things,
right? And then a couple other names being thrown out. I'm not going to mention the names because I doubt anybody's heard of them. But BYU's coach is in the tournament. Charleston's coach in the tournament, which I actually think they're going to pull an upset versus Bama and Colgate. But really, I'd say with what I just rattled off, it's the elimination of a lot of names that are clickbait on the internet. And I think realistically, the Colorado State is the leader in my mind based off of the limited information I've gotten.
That seems like that would actually be a pretty good fit, too. Because, like you said, lots of these other big schools already have kind of established coaches and contracts in place and things like that. I think those would be the harder guys to be like, hey, you want to come to Michigan? I know Michigan at this point. I know it's Michigan, right? But I don't know. As far as basketball program and the state of it in the current moment, probably not something everybody wants to come take over. But yeah. I think you're right, though. Like a guy like from a school like Drake or something that's had a lot of success, but just a little, you know, tear down on a level, I think would be a great opportunity for one of those guys.
Agree.
I just wanted to say real quick, and Mike, you and I were talking off air, you know, I think that this was the right move. You know, I like Juwan Howard. We talked last time you were here about how much, you know, Scott and I both said, you know, all three of us really did. We said about, you know, how we appreciated his history and his background, and, you know, we had optimism for him, but, you know, the program had to set a precedent here and let potential replacements know that this is the type of behavior that we're not going to tolerate. And so, you know, the losing was one thing, but the behavior stuff, that to me was what, you know, solidified the decision. And I think it was the right move.
8-24 in my mind solidifies the decision. And
this is true. Yeah, it's true.
And over.
Just the combination of the two, yeah. Really. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about that for one moment before we move on. 8-24.
Not good.
Wow. How do you pull that off, even?
It's tough. That's got to be tough. Yeah, I don't know how you do it. There's, we could go through a list of schools and their records that are better than 8-24. It'd be surprising. But there you go. So there's a little U of M flavor here for the Wolverine fans here to start it off. Unfortunately, they're not part of the tournament. But hopefully the future has to look brighter than it was. Like you said, 8-24. You can't get much lower than that right now. So,
and their football team did great this year.
Correct. Yeah. So maybe the offset, right? Just a little bit. But
I've been to myself the last 2 months of.
And hockey's still good there too. So you know, they got stuff going on. So
yep,
there we go. I guess let's just, we have local listeners, right? So I'll tuck on the other two local teams. Steve's alma mater, Oakland University, in there.
Go Grizz.
They played pulled the Kentucky Wildcats in the first round. Obviously I'll get your thoughts on that. And then Michigan State's in there as, I think they were the 9 seed, correct? They're in as the 9 seed, and they are taking on Mississippi State, I believe it was. Which I believe they are favored in that game. So,
yes.
I guess myself personally, I think Oakland has no chance against Kentucky, but I think it'll be one of those games. They're actually both. I mean, we talked about this a little bit before we got on. Oakland's got some good 3-point shooting. Kentucky shoots a lot of threes as well, but I think when it comes down to it, obviously, I think Kentucky's just going to be too strong on the interior, and they're Kentucky. I mean, it'd be tough to beat them. I think Oakland might hang around for a little bit, but then I think, it'll separate, the cream will rise to the top.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. I think it'll be a close, I'm hoping that it's a close game the entire game, but I think at least the first half, I think both teams are going to be going kind of back and forth. Trey Townsend for OU, I think he has to come out and dominate early. I mean, they really have to establish him as the go-to guy. I know that they have shooters, But to start the game, they need to go to their main weapon and then, you know, let things kind of open up from there. But we were talking off air before we started here. Jack Golke, he's been really hot from the perimeter. They're going to need him too. So hopefully he can get it going. If those guys are both cold, then I don't even think it's a close game.
Yeah.
I think it's going to...
Go ahead, sorry.
I think that they have a chance, but I don't think they have a good enough chance while I'll be picking them in any of my brackets, actually, just because of potential for Kentucky to go far. But I think they do have a chance. If you've, you know, in the, during the season, I know Kentucky was prone to a few streaks where they lost a few in a row. So I think
they always are.
And so I think, you know, you don't know what you have there in the tournament. The only concern I have with Trey Townsend is, you know, he's a really good player. He's a mid-major player. I'm not sure what kind of opportunities he had to move away from Oakland, you know, if Big Ten teams wanted him. But I'm a little concerned at what Kentucky might be able to throw at him as far as length.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, but you know what? If those two guys that you had mentioned, the three-point shooters, get hot, I mean, they can hit him with anybody. But also, I think Kentucky's strong at guard, and that game versus Milwaukee, Oakland couldn't stop the dribble drive, and if they could have just made any kind of three-point, you know, consistently, I think they wouldn't be in the tournament right now. But but Trey Townsend was a beast in that game. I mean, he program legend for sure.
Yeah, I would say also with Oakland, I mean, we've seen beginning of the year they played teams of the likes of Drake. They did play Drake. They played Illinois, and we're within 11 points against those teams. So I think they'll, like, to Steve's point, they should be hopefully be able to hold their own and be respectable throughout, you know, the first part of the game, first half at least. And always we see it all the time in March and in the tournament, longer some underdog stays close and stays in the game, the more the other team starts panicking a little bit. And
yeah, especially Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, Kentucky's got everything to lose. Oakland's got nothing to lose. So,
but OU's got to come out, like I said, and establish themselves from the get-go, or it will get ugly quickly.
Agreed. All right, so moving to the other local team, we got the Spartans, Michigan State. Tom Izzo, always State seems to pull rabbits out of their butts every year in the tournament, unless that one year they did not lose in the first round. But they've got Mississippi State in the first round. I don't know much about Mississippi State. I know they were 19-12 overall. Not great against top 25 teams this year. I don't expect much from Mississippi State, and Michigan State is Michigan State. They seem to just usually turn it on at this time of year. And I can't see any reason why Michigan State doesn't win this game.
I agree. I have Michigan State winning that matchup.
I can name guys' names and stats and stuff like that, but I don't think that matters in this game. I think this is really an 8-9 game. I think even on the books, Michigan State is favored to beat Mississippi State. So,
Mike, I know you're not in any rush to say anything good about MSU right now, but well, you're up, buddy.
Devil's advocate. I have picked Mississippi State. I
don't think I'm too shocked there.
No. They're the higher seed.
I understand that, but, you know, with this one, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Tom Izzo pulls one out again. Usually these are his best type of teams to make a run in the tournament, so I originally had selected them, but I could be falling for the hype on ESPN, but they're very high in Mississippi State and actually think they have the potential to beat North Carolina if they can get that far. Apparently they're quite physical and some athletes. So I'm going to take Mississippi State in this one. I think Michigan State, it would not surprise me if they go to the Sweet 16, heck, even Elite Eight with them, because this is Tom's type of team here.
That would surprise me.
He knows how to coach this tournament.
I don't have him get past North Carolina.
No, I don't either. Yeah. But you know what? I've seen this happen before, but for that first round, I have Mississippi State, but I'm 51-49 on that one.
I mean, and it probably will be a good game, so it's going to be fun to watch.
I think Michigan State's been too inconsistent this year.
No, I completely agree. I think any team Michigan State plays, they can look competitive, but they, mm-hmm. I mean, they can lose every game, and they could probably win every game if they really, really played their best, but that's how that goes with them. So those are the two local ones. I think I'm just going to go kind of region by region, but just kind of before we dive into the actual regions, looking at the tournament, the odds to win the tournament, obviously Connecticut is the top seed here, the overall number one. They're plus 420 to win this thing. Then you got Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Tennessee, North Carolina. So those are the top six as far as the odds are at the books to win it. Looking at conferences, I always look at conferences, and I think usually the most teams that are in the conference are usually the stronger teams that are in the tournament. Big 12 sent 9 teams to the tournament this year, and I think they are obviously probably the strongest conference in college basketball right now. You know, they've got the Houstons and Iowa State and, you know, multiple teams. So I think there's teams that are probably kind of seated a little bit lower that are actually probably a little bit stronger than people would imagine. But also SEC sent 8 teams, Big 10 sent 6, Mountain West sent 6. They had a strong year. ACC, Pac-12, Big East, 4, 4, and 3. And then there's, you know, multiple other conferences with, you know, their automatic bids and things like that. So yeah, where do we start? So let's start. Actually, maybe I should ask this. This is a fun question. I tried to look at this, and I was trying to decide what I thought was the toughest region out of all 4 of these regions. And I came up with the East. I don't know if anybody else agrees with that, but I think the East, you've got obviously your defending champion. That's not the only reason with Connecticut that makes it difficult. You've got Iowa State, who's just a juggernaut. We saw what they did to Houston the other day. Illinois is very, very good. And then you've also got, as you mentioned earlier with the coaching talk, 2 of the Final Four. So basically 3 of last year's Final Four teams are all in that region, all in that top end of that bracket with Florida Atlantic, San Diego State, and Connecticut. I mean, I think that's probably the toughest region they have on here.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm struggling with the Midwest, though, too. And I've got a question for the panel when it comes time to discuss that region.
For sure. Yeah, no. But yeah, I guess that's, I don't know if anybody else has that opinion too out there. Like I also talked about this before we got on the air. I tried not to listen or read anything when I do my bracket. I just tried to avoid everything over the next 3-4 days. Because I've done that in the past and I get swayed all the time. And then I start picking way too many upsets. I guess that's one number I actually have too. There's actually some stats out here. I can't remember who it's from, but basically they made the definition of an upset as a team that's 5 seeds or worse than the opponent they're playing. So at 10 upsets of 7, it's not an upset in these stats or things of that nature. But usually without that, using that criteria, there's usually about 9 upsets, 8.5 upsets per tournament. In the last 38 tournaments, that's where the stats from. And the first round usually has almost 4 or over 4, 4.65. And second round, about 3 of them. So that's where the most upsets occur. And then once you get into the later rounds, Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4, again, I think that the cream rises to the top and you start seeing those better teams perform and beat the lesser teams. But sometimes you have things like last year where there were random seeds in the Final 4. But yeah, let's go through region by region real quick here. I won't do it too long. But since you were talking about the Midwest there, and that one's actually close to home for us because they actually play the Sweet 16 Elite 8 games here in Detroit at Little Caesars Arena this year. But yeah, what was your question you had for us in the Midwest?
So I know we talked all about Purdue last time.
Yep.
I have Purdue and Tennessee in Midwest, and I'm torn between the two. Am I crazy for picking both of those teams? And if I'm not too crazy, which one of them you guys like more?
That's really funny because you obviously know my feelings on Purdue and Zach Edey.
Yes.
Not a big fan. He just doesn't do it for me. He doesn't have the drive, and he just doesn't seem like he's that guy that just is going to change a game sometimes. He's huge. He's big. He can get some rebounds. He can, you know, make his will be known at the rim a little bit just because he's giant. But I think eventually he runs into somebody that's going to stop him. And when Purdue runs into that, I think when Edie goes, they go. If Edie doesn't go, they don't go. Tennessee is very interesting. They've had a lot of good players like Dalton Neck. And Tennessee's also had just recent success in the tournament over the last couple of years. So I could see them going far. Basically, I've got Purdue and Tennessee both losing in the, let's see, that would be the Sweet 16. So I don't even have them going to the Elite Eight. So between the two teams, I have them evenly ranked in my mind as just falling up just a little bit short there of the Sweet 16. Or the Elite Eight, sorry.
What you got, Mike?
I think, Steve, with Purdue, I mean, we've talked about this as recently as this week through text. I'm going to go with Purdue this for coming out of this region. You know, I from 90s basketball, it just seems like it will work well, and I'm going to hope for their sake that they can overcome their demons from the tournament and come out and ball. But we could very well be disappointed because of them running into a bad matchup and their point guard, Braden Smith, who's not the most athletic already, is running around now. So I'm going to go with them. At least I say that now. I don't know what I'll change. But Tennessee, I was high on, and you may see a bracket with a Tennessee winner. That will probably be my daughter. Dalton Knecht as a baller. I've seen him play once or twice, and he looks pretty darn good. Rick Barnes, their coach, I know has had some problems in the tournament in the past. Although, like you had said, he has had some recent success. I actually have Creighton beating Tennessee.
Same.
It's my understanding Creighton has a pretty strong top four, and I have them beating Tennessee to play Purdue. And gosh, I hope I don't regret it, but I have Purdue going to the Final Four.
Yeah, I was going to say, I agree. I also have Creighton beating Tennessee in that matchup. What's actually interesting, too, the one right before that would be there's so many storylines in this tournament, too, of teams that could match up with histories. Texas-Tennessee would be the game before that, which you just talked about. Rick Barnes came from Texas. So a little rematch there, which is fun. But, yeah, I love Creighton. Creighton, I think they were Elite Eight team last year as well and lost to – who'd they lose to? I believe they lost to Florida Atlantic last year. Otherwise, they would have been a Final Four team. They shoot the lights out. They're just a complete team. And I had Creighton going to the Final Four instead. I actually have Kansas going to the Final Four. I think Kansas takes out Purdue. I think you get one of these. Because the game before that too is Kansas Gonzaga. I have no upsets in that first side of that bracket there. So Gonzaga Kansas, I think, is going to be a great game. But I think Kansas is actually a little underrated right now going into the tournament, especially like I said, coming out of that strong Big 12. Though they're a number four seed, I think they might actually play up to like a two seed type thing. And I think Purdue's a little overrated. So I like Kansas taking out Purdue and then Kansas taking out Creighton as well.
Keep in mind that Hunter Dickinson didn't do so well versus Edie the last year or two at Michigan. No, it would be an interesting factor to see because I would imagine Kansas is more athletic than them. But like I said, I'm confident in picking Purdue, but at the same time, I'm just shaking my head as I say it because I just feel like they're going to let me down, but I have to go with them here.
I think that might be maybe the region I was actually most uncertain of where I was taking a team out of. I guess maybe the East was the other one too that I was a little uncertain of. But yeah, I don't know. Anybody else have any other comments on the Midwest there?
Just that it's tough.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I think we could break it down. It's all tough because anything can happen in these games, right? It's one and done.
But that's what makes it great.
Exactly. So let's see. I'll move on to the South because the winner of the South will end up taking on the winner of the Midwest in the national semifinal. And that consists of the number one seed, Houston. And actually, I said they were the number one overall, but I think Connecticut's the number one overall seed, though the books are a little bit different right now, taking Houston is higher than them. But Houston's the number one seed there in the South. There's other teams like Marquette's number two, Kentucky three. Obviously, we said Oakland is playing Kentucky there in the first round. Duke's in this region, Wisconsin, which I hate, so I hope they lose as bad as possible. And let's see, Nebraska, another Big Ten team in this one as well. But I guess I'll just go ahead and get mine out there. I've got Houston. I like Houston. I think Houston has been great. I think they've been one of the most consistent teams all year in all of college basketball. The thing that scares me the most about Houston is they could take on four blue blood schools in consecutive rounds of the tournament. They could end up having to play Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, and North Carolina in that order if that happens. So there could be a little tough run there with the blue bloods, but I like Houston coming out of that region. And then I have them beating Texas Tech, though. I am actually pretty high on Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech can beat Kentucky. But Houston has dismantled Texas Tech every time they played them this year. That's why I went with Houston.
I have Houston coming out of the region. I'm not so confident. I know the guys on ESPN feel they have the second easiest path, which is just shows you how crazy March Madness is, because I didn't realize the potential path, Scott, you laid out where they play four consecutive blue bloods. One team that it's, a lot of the experts are high on giving them a challenge, believe it or not, is Texas A&M, because they are strong offensive rebounders with good guards, and they played Kentucky tough earlier this year. And you had mentioned Texas playing well as also. I think with Marquette, they got their top player, Kolek. That point guard, he is probably coming back, and that seems like it's going to be a big factor there. I'm not feeling so confident about this pick either, but I'm going to take Houston out of the South for now.
I have Kentucky over Houston. I don't have much confidence at all.
I'm going to stick with it. I was going to say, I had Kentucky over Texas Tech and Kentucky playing Houston in that game to win the region. I ended up just sticking with Houston. I was on the fence about it, but I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
OU is going to inspire Kentucky to go on a gigantic run.
I think I think Mike laid it out too when we were talking about the Oakland matchup, that Kentucky's been kind of a little streaky. They had a little, you know, rough patch here towards the end of the year. And you never know kind of what to expect from them. So
no.
I think they're this year, they seem to be more offense than defense in my mind. I know some people would say their defense is great, but I don't think so. And I think they run into a team like Texas Tech, I think they would have trouble with them. I think what's really interesting with the Texas Tech pick for me is they play NC State in the first round, and NC State's not anybody to write home about, but they're just on fire right now. I mean, they just ran through that ACC tournament.
Yeah, that'll be a good game.
All right, and then let's move on to the East. Why not? Let's go to the East. That's the region with Connecticut, the number one overall seed. Auburn's in there, San Diego State, like I mentioned, Florida Atlantic. So three Final Four teams from last year. BYU's got a lot of people on their bandwagon. Illinois, Iowa State, obviously a two seed there. How's that bracket look for you guys on that side?
I'll go first for this one just because it's kind of the most simple. I've got UConn over Iowa State.
I actually have the same thing. I think UConn, defending champions, number of NBA prospects, you got to, you know, give them the favorite status right now. The analysts on ESPN, they're quite high on this bracket being the most difficult. So apparently Iowa State and Auburn give them style problems if they were to match up. And I do have them beating Iowa State as well. And I'm just not confident with Illinois. I don't care for the Big Ten style of play. And historically, the only ones who really make the runs lately have been Michigan State and Michigan. So I do have Illinois going to the Sweet Six, actually Elite Eight. But I'm going to go with Steve's matchup and agree with him that UConn will beat Iowa State.
I have Illinois losing to BYU.
I can see that too.
And I'll completely disagree with both of you. So I actually, I'm not super high on Connecticut. I think they didn't there's some decent teams in the Big East, but I don't think it's as competitive as other conferences, and I think that might show it here in the tournament. I'm not saying Connecticut's bad. If Connecticut won this whole thing, I would not be surprised. It's not going to shock me.
Right.
But there's so many things leading up that lead me against it. There's also the factor that having back-to-back NCAA champions is so hard. I mean, the last time it done it was Florida with Al Horford and Joakim Noah and Billy Donovan.
My God.
Yep. And before that, it was the Duke Blue Devil days, you know, Leitner and Grant Hill and stuff. So to repeat is tough. But for me, I actually have them losing to Auburn. I think Auburn, again, is one of those underrated teams. They've beat so many good teams along the way during the season. They're so battle-tested. So I think they can be a great team. They're awesome offensively. They're awesome. They're just another complete team that's just kind of flying under the radar, I feel like. So I could see Auburn beating Connecticut there. So I do have Auburn beating Connecticut. And then I also have Illinois beating Iowa State. Now, I love Iowa State, and I think they might have the best defense in the entire country. However, Shannon in Illinois, I love him. I think he's turning it on. He's getting hot at the right time. Through the Big Ten tournament, he was pretty hot. And I think he can continue that into these early rounds of the NCAA tournament. I've got them rolling through Morehead State, beating BYU, beating Iowa State in a close one, and then losing to Auburn. I have Auburn in the Final Four out of that region.
You're not crazy. It's tempting for me to go that route, actually, too. But I'm going to go with UConn, although you certainly laid out a good case that it's impossible to repeat as a champion. It's happened so rarely.
There's also other things that are going against me in that pick, and I try not to put this into my thinking when I put together a bracket, but the locations of where these games are very favorable to the number one seeds. Connecticut actually would play that game in Boston, I believe, which, yeah, you know, your geography is not too far away. and the rounds before that, I think they're in New York City. So that's very favorable. You're looking at, we talked about the Purdue region already. Purdue, I believe, plays in Indianapolis in those early rounds and then moves on to Detroit, which is, again, very close and favorable for them as far as, you know, regions and locations are concerned. So that stuff kind of scares me a little bit, but I try not to put that into my thinking when I try to just pick the team I think is better. Who knows who's going to be
though
at those games, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then let's just move on to the West here. The West, again, North Carolina is the number one seed over there. This also has St. Mary's, Michigan State, Alabama, Clemson, Baylor, Arizona, another big favorite. This one also has location nice for North Carolina at the beginning. They play in North Carolina for the first two rounds, so that's pretty convenient for them. However, and this is why I'll just go into mine anyway here. I have North Carolina beating Alabama in that game to go into the Elite Eight. And I was a little scared about that one. I actually wanted to take Alabama just because those games are in Los Angeles, I believe. And I mean, we all know when we have time changes or jet lag and things like that, you're going from the East Coast to the West Coast to go play Alabama or whoever comes out of that other side of the bracket they're playing, and that could be pretty tough on them. However, I still stuck with North Carolina moving on to the Elite Eight, and I have them playing Arizona. Arizona scares me because they've faltered in the tournament in the past. But I feel like they may have I think I feel about Arizona the same way you guys feel about Purdue. I'm very uncertain about it. However, I feel like hopefully they can right their demons from the past and move on here. And I've actually got Arizona beating North Carolina, moving on to the Final Four.
I actually have the same thing.
Same here, three in a row. Wow.
Nice.
Say this. You know, Arizona is one of those programs who historically chokes in the tournament.
Yep.
But I think, you know, talent's going to play out there. That will be a heck of a game because they both play up tempo. The upset I have in this bracket is I have Charleston beating Alabama. At least in one of my brackets, I'm going to pick that as an upset.
That's interesting. I actually have it on the other side there. I have Grand Canyon beating St. Mary's in an upset. Grand Canyon. I looked up some stats on Grand Canyon, and they've got amazing defense, amazing offensive stats, hitting threes like crazy. When you get one of those teams that can hit threes, anything can happen in that first round. So
they have an NBA player on the team as well, and I'm going back and forth as we actually speak about who I pick in that one. So I'm going to switch that over to Grand Canyon too. So I got two that's coming out of this round.
There you go. And I think their coach, they've been in the tournament like three out of the last 4 years. And isn't it, they have a, is Bryce Drew their coach, I believe? I can't remember. I'd have to look it up, but I think one of them is. Maybe I'm mixing it up. Oh, well. I won't go through Google searching it right now. But yeah, no. So yeah, I think all of our final fours look somewhat different. Mine, actually. I think two of our teams are pretty close, right? Houston and Arizona. I think we both have those, or all three of us have Houston, Arizona, I believe.
We do, but I'm...
Or no, you have Kentucky, I'm sorry. Don't you, Steve?
Yes.
Yep. So we only have one team we all agree on, the final four, Arizona. But yeah, I guess I'll just go to my final four. I've got Arizona, Auburn. I've got Auburn beating Arizona there, and I have Houston, Kansas on the other side. Houston over Kansas, and I have Houston beating Auburn for a national championship.
I have UConn beating Arizona, and I have Houston beating Purdue, and I have Houston beating UConn, which is funny because I'm tempted to go back and change my Houston second round pick to be upset. But as you can tell, I'm having a hard time with this tournament and the upsets, but I'm probably going to keep it with Houston, at least for one of the brackets.
No. Yeah, it's
and
tough.
I'm not finished with my bracket yet. Still doing the Midwest, and but I'm leaning towards picking Tennessee.
Not a bad pick.
No, nah, you can't go wrong with that.
It's tough though.
I was gonna say one other storyline I missed too. If that North Carolina Arizona matchup happens, like a lot of us would like, Caleb Love was at North Carolina, transferred through the portal to Arizona. He could actually have a little matchup there. Could be interesting just to see that. So. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I think sports is a little maybe scripted, right? So if we see these scripted things, Texas, Tennessee would probably happen. North Carolina, Arizona would probably happen. Maybe those blue bloods do run through Houston on a path. You never know how that's going to go. But
let's hope for that matchup. That would be a great game, but the way those two run up and down the court.
I'd love it. I think it would be fantastic. But yeah, I think it's tough too when you put these together as far as number one seeds and picking upsets and stuff. I mean, I looked up since 2000, only twice has there been more than two number one seeds in the final four since 2000. Nine times there was two number one seeds, 10 of those times only one number one seed, and three of the times not one number one seed made it to the final four. So that makes you think about number one seeds or higher seeds you put through. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, I think that's about all I have. I don't think we need to break it down any further. I think that gives me a flavor of kind of what we're looking at.
It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Wait.
I can't wait to. I mean, I think one thing that's actually kind of interesting is one of those playing games. I think, like you said, Colorado State. I think they play Virginia, and I think that's the most impactful playoff game moving into the first round of the tournament. So we'll have to see how that pans out. I hate Virginia. they're one of those boring teams that, like Wisconsin, right? They just, you know, eat the clock and shoot twos all day and not score a lot of points in all defense. But we'll see. I mean, Virginia would match up, I believe. I think it's with, is it Texas or Tennessee? I can't remember who they would have in the first round there. But maybe they'd slow somebody down. We'll see.
Time to go, Maryland.
But yeah, I think that does it for the bonus episode of Menace Podman. Hopefully everybody enjoyed it. We will have our regular, probably shortened version of the fantasy NBA, your usual content for Menace Podman coming up later this week. But yeah, other than that, we thank everybody for listening. Hope they enjoyed the show. You can find us on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Menace Podman. And if you haven't given us a ranking on wherever you have 5 stars, give us a review wherever you stream us, and we will talk to you later. But yeah, thanks again, Mike, for joining us. And yeah, you're welcome anytime. Love having you.
Thank you. It was a blast.
Thanks again, fellas.
Yep. Thank you.
Hey, this is Steve from Menace Podman. Scott and I have been having a blast creating our podcast. I can't tell you how much we look forward to recording days and providing amazing MBA content to our listeners every week. It's hard work, but with the right software, it's a lot easier. We use Podcastle to seamlessly edit and create production quality sounding podcasts. Podcastle is now equipped to record audio and video and distribute to all the places podcasts are found. You can find a link directly in the show notes to Podcastle. So if you're a podcaster or future podcaster, go check out Podcastle.
Menace Podman.